Today's class will be given by His Grace Chakravarti Prabhuji on the topic Srimad Bhagavatam, verse from 4.8.28 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you are there on the call?
Yes, Hare Krishna Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to the devotees.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time in this conference call, and we are fortunate to have you on this call on this special day. You can please take over, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Dhruva Maharaj leaves home for the forest. Verse number 28 onwards. Vikalpe vidyamane pi nahi asantosha hetava pumso moham rite vinna yalloka nija karma bhi. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Bhakti Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear Dhruva, if you feel that your sense of honor has been insulted, you still have no cause for dissatisfaction. This kind of dissatisfaction is another feature of the illusory energy. Every living entity is controlled by his previous actions, and therefore there are different varieties of life for enjoying or suffering. Purpose. In the Vedas, it is said that the living entity is always uncontaminated and unaffected by material association. The living entity gets different types of material bodies because of its previous fruitive actions. If, however, one understands the philosophy that as a living spirit soul, he has an affinity for neither suffering nor enjoyment, then he is considered to be a liberated person. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. When one is actually situated on the transcendental platform, he has nothing for which he has to lament and nothing for which he has to hanker. Narad Rishi first of all wanted to impress upon Dhruva Maharaj that he was only a child and he should not have been affected by words of insult or honor. And if he were so developed as to understand honor and insult, then this understanding should have been applied in his own life. He should have known that honor and dishonor are both destined by one's previous actions. Therefore, one should not be sorry or happy under any circumstances. Om Jnana Simirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakayam Chakshuram Militam Jena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Siyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yudha Padam Shri Guru Anvaya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raguna Thambitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Nama Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunivadi Pashyata Deshatane Nama Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaurutishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskute Saptu Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Narada is speaking this वर्ष विकल्पे विद्यमाने अपि नहि असंतोष्ट हेतव असंतोष हेतव पुंसो मोहम मृते भिन्ना यल्लोक निज कर्म भी। तो ध्रुव महाराज इंसल्टेड बाय हिज स्टेप मदर गोज विथ मिक्स्ड इमोशंस ऑफ एंगर एंड फ्रस्ट्रेशन एंड ही क्राइज आल्सो द स्मॉल चाइल्ड 5-year-old child. And his mother is giving, his mother already knew because some of the maid servants, they told. And she gave good instruction that you go to Lord Vishnu. So he started, where will I find Lord Vishnu? So his mother said that, I don't know where you can find Lord Vishnu, but I have heard that sages go to forest to find him. So he can go to the forest. And then he goes to forest. He's on the way to forest and he meets Narada Muni. So Lord Vishnu only has sent Narada to test and give mercy to Dhruva. Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Lada Bij. So first you get the mercy of Guru, then mercy of Krishna. But there's one more step to this. To get the mercy of Guru, you need mercy of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada writes in Jatan Charitamrita, the first installment of Krishna's mercy is bona fide spiritual master. How can someone know whether Krishna has given him mercy or not? It is by if he is in touch with a bona fide spiritual master, that means Krishna has glanced on that living entity, his merciful glance. So by Krishna's mercy you get Guru, and by Guru's mercy you get Krishna. Because that means nothing we are doing. We are doing nothing. The body, the facilities, the gross body, subtle body, all the sustenance for us is given by Krishna. The knowledge is given by Krishna. The guidance is given by Guru. And we have to find Krishna and to serve Him. We are doing nothing. Even materially, we are doing nothing. That's why Krishna says, Prakritaya Kriya Manani Gunai Karmani Sarvasya Ahankara Vimud Atma Karta Miti Manipa. He is a very special Muda. Vimuda, Vishesha Rupena, Muda. He is a special fool because he thinks he is the doer. No one is the doer in the entire creation except Krishna. But because of illusion, because of his conditioned nature, illusion, living entity, he thinks he is the doer. Now when you consider yourself a doer, what will happen? When you achieve some success, you will be happy. Because one thing, I am a doer and I am doing. So the success has come because of me. So he becomes happy. And when he meets failure, then he becomes unhappy. Because he thinks he is the doer and he couldn't achieve. So he becomes miserable. And both these situations in this material world of happiness and misery is nothing but illusion. That's what we'll see. Again and again this concept has been spoken by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, especially 2nd chapter. 2.56, Krishna speaks, one who is not disturbed in mind, even amidst the threefold miseries, one who is not disturbed, even amongst threefold miseries. Right now, like a month back in South India and Kerala, out of 16, 13 districts are completely submerged in water, like a mini pralay for them. Everything is destroyed. And now again 5 districts are on red alert. And in North India, Punjab and Himachal, there is already flooding. In some parts of the world, the hurricanes and typhoons, some parts are completely drought. Now, it's very difficult to say, or rather it is easy to say, but when it comes to our own situation, it may not be so easy. I don't know about any one of you, but for me, if these threefold material miseries come, I don't remain so in the equanimity or in the balanced state, because it affects. So we should understand that is not the issue, that we are affected or not, but we should, even if you are not affected, you have already transcended. If you are getting affected with misery and happiness, that means we have not transcended. If we have not transcended and we are already affected to ISKCON, Krishna consciousness, and we have a knowledge and we have got mercy of Guru and Krishna, at least we should become humble. That I am not able to control my mind and make my mind steady when there is reason for happiness and when there is reason for misery. That's why it is said, one who is not disturbed in the mind even amidst the threefold miseries are related when there is happiness. Some disturbance is coming on. If devotees can mute, that will be more peaceful. We get disturbed with sound also. One who is free from attachment, fear and anger is called stage of steady mind. Then immediately he says, in the next verse, in the material world, one who is unaffected by whatever good or evil, he may obtain neither praising it nor depressing it, despising it. It is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. So one who has knowledge, he will not get affected by distress or happiness. And one who is not in knowledge, he will get affected. So we get affected. And we were discussing last week. So if one child in the home, 10 years old, he recites Bhagavad Gita shlokas, we get affected, we become happy. This happiness may appear spiritual because it's connected to Bhagavad Gita, but the emotions may not be spiritual. It may be material, which is not wrong, but we're talking about. And then someone of you discuss that, you know, this is happening, our children, that means we get affected. So at least we should have knowledge by reading that we are not controllers. That exactly Narada Muni is telling both the points to Dhruva. He's telling, Dhruva was a child and he should not have been affected by words of insult or honor. A 5-year-old child, what does he know what is insult? And that too Satyuga child. Kaliyuga child are all smart people. They are completely, equipped with all this understanding because they are Kaliyuga. Is there bad karma, whoever takes birth in Kaliyuga, because they get exposure to these things very early. But in Satyuga, Dhruva is getting affected by honor or insult. Narada Muni is saying it's not fitting you. And then he said, and if you think that you understand what is honor and insult, then you should also understand how to apply this in your life. How to apply? That honor and dishonor are both destined.
by one's previous action, therefore one should not be sorry or happy under any circumstances. One devotee came to Srila Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, this person insulted me, this is what happened bad with me, this is what happened, this devotee is doing this, this devotee. I was kind of, you know, chastised him with very heavy words. Prabhupada looked at his face, he looked into his eyes deeply, with a deep voice, he said, why are you sad or lamenting about the things which you have produced? That means, whatever happiness and misery or distress comes in our life is because of our own past karma. It has nothing to do with other person. Let us discuss one example. I don't know, maybe a few months back I took this example. Let us discuss and understand, because it's very important. Two patients are in hospital in the same room, and one is very serious and one is not so serious, or one you can say is recovering and another is freshly admitted to this room, and these two patients are there. The doctors, they come on round. So doctor came in the morning 9 a.m. and he saw the pulse rate and all the observations written on the chart for first patient, who is very serious, who has been freshly admitted and is very serious condition. So doctor saw, he saw the patient, he spoke with the patient, he wrote something on the pad and left. And then when this doctor went to, then this doctor went to another patient, who's kind of, you can say, is about to get discharged. He saw, he spoke with him, and again, doctor wrote something on his chart also. The nurse comes and goes to the patient who is about to get discharged, almost recovered, and sees the chart. And it is mentioned that he should be given, you know, like some idli or upma and juice and maybe one tablet medicine, that's all. And again lunch he'll get khichdi or chapati or whatever. And then she goes to, so she gives him upma and idli and then also juice and one small tablet, and then she talks with him nicely, friendly, and she goes to another patient. Another patient, the doctor has written, he should be not given anything to eat, just little bit of water with some, you know, electrol or glucose, something, 3 injections and around 12 tablets. This happens. This is not a theoretical situation. This is a practical situation. We see this happen. So, this patient who got 3 injections, nothing to eat, only some liquid and so many tablets, he is cursing. He becomes frustrated. He is cursing the nurse, he is cursing the doctor, he is cursing the other patient, because he is just venting out his frustration and anger that why I have to suffer and he has to enjoy. This nurse and this doctor and this entire hospital, they are partial. I have given money to them and they don't allow me to eat also. But what we see is it is not nurse who has done anything. Nurse just follow the instruction, whatever is written. So that means whose fault is that? One was written? No. He didn't write, the doctor didn't write your prescription according to his own whims. He wrote seeing your bodily condition. And that will help you to cure. But now who is the cause of body to get damaged or diseased? Is the person himself. So why should he become frustrated if he is the cause of everything? If he is the cause of his distress and happiness, why should he get frustrated on others? But that's what exactly we do. We are the Jivatmas. Krishna is like the doctor. And the nurse is like, you know, like different agents, different devotees, family member, climatic condition, threefold miseries, you know, office people, school people, college people, all the other people are like this nurse who just give you what you deserve. They just deliver it to you. And that's why people, they abuse God when anything bad happened to them. Why do you let these things happen to us? Like Srila Prabhupada says that in World War II, many women, they went in Europe, they went to church to pray for their fathers, sons, and brothers, husbands. They're going on a battlefield. So not everyone has to come alive. If you're going for battlefield, you will die. So many of them died. And all these women, they became faithless. They said, that means God doesn't exist. And if He exists, He's so cruel. So why should we go? That's how the religion degenerated. The culture degraded. And people stopped going to churches and temples. But if we have a proper understanding, it is the Jivatma who, according to his karma, has done right or wrong, and now he has to accept the results. So if we talk about devotee life, if we talk about devotees, now let us take two scenarios. One devotee staying with his wife. Both are away from parents. And just two of them, or maybe one child, may or may not. And another devotee staying with his family, entire joint family, like 20 members. Now the devotee two girls got married into each house. So in the joint family, this girl has karma. Everyone has karma. This daughter-in-law, new daughter-in-law, she has karma. So if she has karma, good, she will get good from everyone. But because you have a mixture of karma, good and bad, she also will have to accept the reactions of the bad she has done in the past, or wrong she has done in the past. No one can escape the cycle of karma. Laws of karma, Prabhupada says, are very stringent. Very, very stringent. And they are ruthless. Law of karma is ruthless. Not listen to anyone. So now, this daughter-in-law gets something good and something not so good. But she gets, like, there are 20 family members. So then the mother-in-law will give some good and then someone will give bad. The things will get settled down in joint family. People don't get mind, okay, someone told me something bad, but someone told me something good. I'm a little distressed because of this person in my house. He chastised me, he or she chastised me. And there are other people who will also motivate you and support you emotionally. So she continues like, okay, okay, part of life. The other girl who got married, only husband and wife. So all the good reactions and not so good reactions for the girl will come from husband. As a nature of living entity, we forget good. We remember the bitter experiences. So husband and wife staying together, they have good times and they have rough weather also. Gradually, over a period of time, 1 week after other, 1 month after other, 1 year passed. And both husband and wife, they remember less of the happy days and more of the bitter days. And they kind of accuse each other, blame each other, ending up in a divorce. In both the situation, both these girls, or you know, even husband or wife, whatever, they suffered equally. But because suffering was coming only from one source, that is why the relationship became very bitter. There was no understanding of laws of karma. There was no understanding that what goes around comes around. There's no understanding that, you know, it is my own destiny. I am the cause for my own destiny. Krishna is just the sanction. Upadrishta Anumanta cha. Two birds sitting on the tree, one is enjoying, one is acting. So that bird will enjoy or suffer, but the other bird has to just watch. Krishna just watch. He's just looking at us. So nowadays more and more smaller families in the world, and that's why you see the divorce is increasing, the rate of divorce. And even if there are 3-4 people, husband, wife, 2 children, they experience more of bitterness without understanding that. And that is why you send the child to boarding school or keep him at home. So that's a separate thing about that. That, you know, outside the child may get affected with non-Krishna conscious atmosphere. We're not talking about that. We're just talking about karma. It has to come. So Krishna, being the doctor, he sees what is the karma. He sees the past. And Krishna is very, very, very merciful. He's like the doctor who will not allow you to eat what you want to eat if that is not good for your health. Krishna will not give you what you want. Until unless Dhruva was completely purified, Krishna didn't give him. Lord Vishnu appeared before Dhruva when Dhruva was purified. Because if Dhruva would have got what he got after 6 months, if he would have got in 6 days, when Dhruva was still not purified, that would have affected him further and entangled him further. So Krishna is extremely merciful father, and he sees that his children, if they get these facilities, they will ruin their life. So Krishna withdraws the facilities. And he let us be punished. Krishna wants to help, but this is his help. Don't think when we are in the suffering, Krishna is happy. No, Krishna is not happy, but Krishna sees. It's like, you know, mother has to see when a small child is being treated by a doctor. A small child, you know, playing ball or something, gets hurt. Sometimes doctor has to stitch, because if the skin is like, you know, opened up, apart, doctor has to stitch, and mother has to see all that. It's so painful for mother. But she knows that this is good for her. Child is crying continuously. But mother knows. Similarly, when we are suffering because of our own karma, Krishna is looking, he is watching us. It is not he doesn't exist. It is not he is heartless. It is not he is hard-hearted. It is not he is not bothered. He is concerned. But he knows that this will cure us eventually. Make us free from anarthas. Make us free from false ego. So he allows operation to happen. So that is why these things. Now we should understand these things are coming our own karma. And it is how everything is related to mind. It's like, you know, I'm staying in my room and there's another brahmachari. We two are there. And he accused me. And I counter-accused. Finish. And then he again, another day, he's politicizing, he's talking with everyone against me. And then I'm talking with everyone against him. And then becomes talk of the town, becomes prajalpa. An offensive prajalpa. Not only prajalpa, it leads to aprat. But actually, who accused the other? It is the mind. It is the uncontrolled mind of a person who accuses or abuses other person. My mother used to tell me in childhood, we used to play in schools and sometimes, you know, small kids, they kind of, you know, say some, you know, not so soothing words. So then I used to come crying. That he told me like this. So I was told by my mother that he spoke this bad word with his own tongue. Huh? Did he hit you physically? No. Then your body is completely alright. And he spoke a bad word with his own tongue. So his tongue got spoiled. Why you have to cry? And after many years, I read Chaitanya Charitamrita and saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving similar, same philosophy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told to Subuddhi Rai, you have drunk poison with this tongue, now you drink nectar with the same tongue. That means, not Subuddhi Rai, he told someone else. That means you have offended devotees. Criticize and blaspheme devotees with this tongue, so with the same tongue you glorify the devotee. So if someone is, you know, speaking bad against us, he is only contaminating his consciousness further. But there is another problem, there is a catch here, and the problem is we have our own set of false ego. We have anarthas, and very prominent is false ego. Now, one of you, if I criticize one of you on your back when you are not there, and you come to know, and then you counter criticize me. But if we think logically, and our philosophy says, if someone criticizes us, how it is getting, how we are getting affected? Nowhere. But because of a false ego, we think that how dare he can speak against me or about me, ill about me. There's a false ego which comes into picture. Now there are three things, mind, intelligence, false ego, and the subtle body. Intelligence is completely contaminated and subdued. False ego makes friendship with mind. See, mind is born out of goodness. But because false ego makes friendship with mind, and mind promises to false ego, I will protect you. This is all given in third canto Bhagavatam, you can read that. And even Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes this. Mind is promising to false ego, I will protect you, don't. You know, then I given him some laddu. So whenever we get criticized or blasphemed, rather than putting intelligence into picture, which is already dull, that's what Srila Prabhupada says, read Bhagavatam, read Bhagavad Gita, read books, discuss, intelligence becomes sharp. Because intelligence is not so sharp, when we are blasphemed, we come to know someone spoke ill about us, our mind retaliates and becomes like a fireball and wants to burn that person. He may be a new bhakta, he may be a father, mother, my guru, my shiksha guru, my diksha guru, even Krishna. That is how Daksha offended Lord Shiva. That is how so many people are envious of Krishna. Huh? Is it not that Daksha didn't know who is Lord Shiva? But he offended because mind becomes, it's completely crazy. Mind is crazy and wants to protect the false ego. And then makes you speak all those blasphemous things against a Vaishnava. And we suffer. So it's all this, that is why he says, Arjuna has 4 questions. And then Krishna, in next 18 verses, replies to these 4 questions. If anyone wants to be steady and be peaceful and be calm and tranquil all through the life, he has to read 2.54 to 2.72 Bhagavad Gita. And life. Try to apply as much as possible in his own life. Because that will bring us to the platform of steadiness. And that steadiness is known as yoga. Krishna says that, perform your duty equipoise, O Arjuna, abandoning all attachment to success or failure, such equanimity is called yoga. What Krishna is saying? Abandon all attachment to success. Now, abandoning attachment to success is easier. But how can you abandon the attachment to failure? If someone praises us, we feel happy and we forget also after a few days. But if someone criticizes us, you know, it may go for whole life. It's not easy to forget. That's why people remember their failures more than their success. Sadhaka wants to become more steady, then he or she should read this very beautifully, systematically. Krishna has explained the situation for us to become steady in Krishna consciousness and become happy. Because it is not the soul who is insulted or who is praised. And it is other person's mind who has insulted you. Another thing. If you feel you are insulted by someone, it is not he has insulted you. You know, like Krishnadas or Gaurdas. Krishnadas has not insulted you. It is his mind has insulted you. And even that his mind has also not insulted you, it is your karma who has insulted you. And if you go deeper, there is no insult. Your karma was due. I came. It is not insult. What is insult? Insult itself is an illusion. Is it? My dear Dhruva, if you feel your sense of honor has been insulted, you have still no cause for dissatisfaction. First of all, you shouldn't have been insulted. You shouldn't feel insulted. If you feel your sense of honor has been insulted, Narada is saying, you still have no cause for dissatisfaction. Why? This dissatisfaction is another feature of illusory energy. That's why you see every time I talk, we talk about hope. Because if you get into this syndrome, if I have to use this word, syndrome of dissatisfaction, syndrome of depression, syndrome of feeling bad, that itself is illusion. And this is Maya's weapon to put us down. So we should never take that insult. Lord Buddha was once sitting and there was one person who was very upset with Buddha. And he came to Lord Buddha and started criticizing and abusing Lord Buddha. And Buddha as usual kept smiling. And he was smiling, that other person, he was becoming more and more frustrated and angry. And he was feeling more and more pain. So after venting out all the things, and he got completely frustrated, all the energy is out, then he asked Lord, he said, my dear Lord, how is that I am accusing you, I am abusing you, I am criticizing you, and you don't become angry, you are just smiling and I am becoming more and more angry and frustrated. So then Lord Buddha said, my dear friend, if you give me some gift, if you brought some gift for me, and I don't accept that gift, what will happen? That gift will still remain with you. So you came to accuse me, but I didn't accept your accusations. I didn't accept your abusive words. So those abusive words and accusations are still with you, and that is why you are suffering and I am happy. It's like you go on, in India you see railway stations and all that. There are outside you come to railway station, any city in India railway station, there are many footpaths. And many small vendors, poor people, they put their, you know, whatever they want to sell. Sometimes they sell mobile cover and keychain and cloths and shoes and chappal, all this, you know, local item they sell. And you are walking. You have to catch the train. You're walking, your focus is to go and get into the train. Your train is about to come. And these people keep shouting, take this, you know, 1+1 free, take this 100% discount, take this item, take this is very useful, good quality. They speak continuously both the sides and you're walking. Are you affected with that? No. Until you want to buy. Similarly, in the entire world, people will keep criticizing, people will keep discriminating, people will keep accusing, people will, you know, keep doing all sort of nonsense. If we don't pay attention to them, they cannot do anything to us. They cannot do anything to us. It is not that Maya comes and captures the soul. It is soul who hangs around Maya. It is the Jivatma who embraces Maya. Maya has not captured us. It is not the material desire which disturbs us. It is we go and disturb material desires. So it is not the person anyone can insult. Lord Shiva never felt insulted. And he was peaceful. And Daksha was more and more and more getting frustrated. Lord Shiva was sitting peaceful, not at all affected with Daksha's words. He just walked out. Those curses, counter curses, and Shiva said, this is a useless place. And Lord Shiva just walked out of that place. But this requires lot and lot of tapasya. Tapasya, you have to practice lot of bhakti, lot of internal spiritual strength is required. Prabhupada was in Canada and His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj, that time he was coming newly to Canada temple, and he started coming, visiting ISKCON, chanting. So he brought another Indian for one of the class. It's given in Leela Amrit. So this Indian came, and after the class Prabhupada said, any questions? So this Indian, he started accusing Prabhupada in public. He said, why have you come to America? These are all Christian people. Why are you trying to make them Hindus? And he started talking ill about Prabhupada. Prabhupada didn't say anything. And when the class got over, next day Prabhupada was leaving that place. So Maharaj went, Gopal Krishna Maharaj went to Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, I'm sorry. I brought this Indian fellow to make him interested into bhakti, but he was, you know, kind of disturbing and he criticized you, insulted you. Prabhupada said, no, he didn't insult me. It is maybe I would have done something wrong to him in his previous life. In my previous life, I would have done something wrong and he's just giving me back. That's all. Now, Prabhupada, we know, has no previous life, material life. But Prabhupada is explaining this concept. How we should see personal insult. When we get insulted, how we have to see that. And that will decide what kind of character we have. Like I may give here big lectures. But what if I am insulted? What if I am criticized? What if I am not given proper respect? And I become angry, fiery? Then the lecture I am giving is not applied. So all this, you know, to become like Srila Prabhupada or Lord Shiva, it requires lot and lot of internal spiritual strength. Immense spiritual strength. And that is why we practice. Like if you go on book distribution, anywhere in the world, and someone insults you, public, how do you feel? You feel compassionate. You are completely insulted. You know, this fellow, you gave him Bhagavad Gita and he threw Bhagavad Gita on the road. He's abusing you, he's abusing the entire society. And when you come back, you talk to other devotees, you feel, oh, this poor soul. He should have accepted Bhagavad Gita. He rejected, he abused. I pray to Krishna that he becomes a devotee. That's how we feel compassion. But if any one of a devotee who's chanting 16 non falling 4 if any initiated devotee, he does little bit of, you know, we feel little bit of insulted or criticized because of him, then become like fire. But at least now we have learned to tolerate insult from outside people because we have got some spiritual strength. If we increase our spiritual strength by chanting, by serving, by reading, hearing, then gradually we'll get so much strength that anyone comes and accuses, will not be affected. And we have examples in Bhagavatam, Avadhut Brahmana, Prahlad Maharaj. How much Prahlad Maharaj? His father, his own father, attempt to kill him so many times. Avadhut Brahmana, people used to pass urine on his body, pass gas on his face. Bhagavatam writes everything clearly. And he's not affected. Not Avadhut Brahmana, this Avanti Brahmana. 11th canto. How they are teaching us. And it's not that what they are teaching us is impossible. It is possible. It is possible. Otherwise they're not teaching. Bhagavatam will not teach anything which is impossible. And nothing is impossible for the soul who is so powerful by being part and parcel of Krishna. We have to just uncover our material conditions. Material conditioning, we have to uncover it.
So if we uncover, then we will be able to see the truth. You will be able to see that this person is not insulting. It is my own karma. And you will become humble. An action. Like Haridas Thakur was beaten into 22 marketplaces, still he was chanting. And when Sudarshan Chakra comes to kill these two, people who were, two persons who were trying to kill and who actually whipped Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur is being compassionate on these two people, and Sudarshan cannot kill those people. That is what means Tattva Darshi, seeing the truth. And that requires a lot of spiritual strength. We have to practice chanting day after day, month after month, year after year. Maybe we should be ready. From a janmani janmani, life after life, we should be ready to practice Krishna consciousness. Not that, oh Prabhu, I'm just ek life ho gaya, this one life is over, now I want to go back to Krishna and just lie down in the fields in Goloka Vrindavan. No, there also you have to serve. We should be ready to. For going back to spiritual, we have to pay the price. As Jesus Christ say, the doors of heaven are open for one who is humble and meek. And Bhakti Devi, like every one has their own vehicle. Ganga has a crocodile as a vehicle. Durga has a lion as a vehicle. Shiva has Nandi. Ganesha has a mouse. Kartikeya has peacock. Bhakti Devi has also a vehicle on which she travels, and that vehicle is called humility. And this will come after all this purification. So we should be ready to face purification rather than running away from purification, because it will come. And I pray to all, I pray that, I will rather request all of you to please pray and bless me so that I can also be able to see the truth and have the sufficient spiritual strength to tolerate and become humble. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Any questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam. Wonderful session as usual. Yes, Prabhuji, I have two questions. So when Srila Prabhupada said that, no, this person is not insulting me, I must have done something in my previous life. So with that understanding, Prabhu, when we get insulted by somebody, is it that person who is insulting us that we have insulted? Or is it like it could be to some other person, but, you know, so A to B, but B is to B and then C
to A? It doesn't matter, Mataji. Everyone is just acting as an instrument for Krishna. What we have done, to whom we have done, we should not get bothered about that. They are all instruments of Krishna to purify us. They are like, you know, a doctor has a scissor a knife, all these are instruments. So they are all instruments. People around you are all instruments. These threefold midris are all instruments to purify us, to make us, to take us closer to Krishna. Doesn't matter what we have done in the past, whom we have done, we will just accept purification.
Thank you very much. Prabhu, my second question is, I want to rephrase it correctly. So let's say, because of our past karma, is it that because of our past karma we act in a certain way and hence now we are, I'm trying to phrase it properly, Prabhu, and hence we respond in a certain way. So let's say we know, we should not do something like this, but we still do it. Is it because now the reaction that comes is supposed to happen because of our past karma? Am I making myself clear?
Yes, because whatever nature we have acquired, it's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 3.5, whatever nature we have acquired, we will act or respond according to the nature. That is how we do. If you take the fish out of water, that fish will try to run inside the water back. If a person is drowning in the water, human being, that human being will try to come out of the water because they have nature. Like Gajendra Moksha incident, Gajendra was trying to come out of the water and crocodile was trying to pull Gajendra inside the water because they have different nature. And this nature is because of their karma. So we will act, and this is why I did the trick. We are kind of entangled. This is why karma is, and this world and karma is entangling. You have got a lower nature. Mode of ignorance is prominent in personality. So that person will always act in mode of ignorance. And then he will do all the wrong things and further get entangled. It's a very tricky situation. That's why we are very, very, very fortunate that we got connected to Krishna Consciousness Movement. Because this cycle of karma, this can be only cut by bhakti. So even though you have a nature and you will respond accordingly, but also you are practicing Krishna Consciousness, that bhakti process is gradually purifying you and will kind of subdue your nature. We cannot change nature, true, but we will become intelligent to utilize our nature properly and become less and less and less offensive and less entangled. So we will respond according to our nature, but we have to be careful. Intelligence should come into picture. Even animals respond according to the nature. What is the difference between animal and human being? Because human being has to use his own intelligence. Even if you have, even if anger is coming in you, mode of ignorance is becoming prominent and you want to really, you are very angry on someone, intelligence should come into picture that he's a devotee, he's chanting. Let me again revisit whether he's wrong or he's right. Even if he's wrong, am I the person to correct him? Am I the person to chastise him? Or I should humbly go and approach his guru or his authority and they will take care. In that way, you will use your intelligence and then safeguard yourself from Vaishnava Aparadha. But sometimes we cannot do, our nature becomes very prominent, no problem. After that you beg forgiveness from that devotee, from Krishna, and again continue the process. If it happens, what can be done? Gradually we will learn. That's what I can say.
Yes, Prabhuji, thank you. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanwat, Pranava, all the way to Krishna Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for a very, very wonderful class. It was very nice to hear all these things again and again and to meditate that whatever comes, it's our karma and we have to deal with it. So, Prabhuji, I have one question if let's say, if you feel something like something is
your voice is breaking and there's some disturbance in the sound. Can you speak a little louder?
What about now, Prabhuji?
Okay.
Okay. So Prabhuji, so whenever you feel something is coming upon you, so is there any verse you remember or some prayers you remember to counteract that situation?
Yeah, different devotees, someone remember sometime prayer, sometime verses. Sometime I just remember the compassionate nature of Srila Prabhupada by reading his books, Lilamrit. Sometimes I remember how, you know, Daksha was heavily chastised and punished, and other devotees and sadhakas are punished for committing offenses. Then we become little alert. It is like if you are driving your car very fast and you meet an accident, and whenever next time you are driving fast, you will be more careful because you already met an accident. So we may not remember our past, but we understand that we are wearing this material body, which itself is a curse. We are having so many diseases, so many anarthas, so many inconveniences in the material world. That is because we have committed apradh. So do I want to increase the inconvenience, or I want to get relieved? So if there is some insult I have to digest and tolerate,
mm-hmm.
and it gives me relief eternally, and better. Ultimately, philosophy, intelligence will cut it. That's why Prabhupada says this sword of knowledge. So it is intelligence which will cut this misconception. So whether it's a person in your life, your Shiksha Guru, your Diksha Guru, Prabhupada, any Acharya, or it is some shloka, some prayer, it is ultimately philosophic. So you have to convince again and again and again. And even if sometime we fail, do not get worried, do not get depressed, no problem. We will be given another opportunity. Even if we commit sometimes a Vaishnava, go and beg forgiveness when you come to senses. Sometimes we commit Vaishnava offense because we are not in our senses. We are completely conditioned by modes, lower modes. When you come again back, because we are chanting 16 rounds, so after some time, or after one day, or after one week, we come to our senses. When you come to your senses, immediately go to that devotee and beg forgiveness and clarify or nullify the offense. There's only way to nullify, you to beg forgiveness from the same devotee.
Is there any your favorite verse you chant during all these times?
I don't. There is one verse called Tattenu Kampamsu Samikshamano. Lord Brahma is saying, one who tolerates and still pays obeisances to Krishna, he is eligible to enter the spiritual world. So my goal is to enter the spiritual world. So if I have to tolerate, let me tolerate. And I mostly remember our acharyas, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, how much they have tolerated us. How much insult Bhaktivinoda Thakur tolerated. How much Srila Prabhupada personally tolerated. And our Diksha Gurus in society, how much they have tolerated. That gives me more internal strength. So one side I take this positive inspiration from these things, and another side I remember, you know, if something happens wrong, ultimately I who suffer. So why should I do this foolish act so as to have to suffer?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Yeah, I also have a couple of questions. thank you so much for discussing this very dear to my heart subject. One question is just a follow-up on one answer you gave. You said that, you know, we have to follow our nature, you know, it's our karma. But when we have intelligence, as we do by coming into Krishna consciousness, we can invoke that intelligence and behave differently. So it seems that once we develop this intelligence by being in Krishna consciousness, it doesn't seem that we necessarily have to follow our nature any longer, because our
I'm sorry, but there's a little bit of disturbance in the sound. Can you
read
the question? Maybe just in few words. Give me a brief one sentence.
Yes. Okay. So in Krishna consciousness, we develop intelligence, and therefore it doesn't seem that we are forced to have to follow our nature any longer.
No, we are forced to follow our nature. But I'm saying by bhakti, we get the internal strength so that we can dovetail our nature in Krishna consciousness and not use the nature which will eventually harm us. This strength we will only get by spiritual practice. Otherwise, we are just servants of our nature. We cannot go against the nature, we cannot change the nature.
Okay, I think maybe I'm not so clear about what you mean by our nature. Because, for example, if before Krishna consciousness, I would have retaliated an insult with another insult, right?
Yes.
By my nature, I would have retaliated, right?
Okay.
But now that I'm in Krishna consciousness and I know the consequence of that, I can check myself and I don't have to retaliate now because I don't want those consequences. So by my intelligence, I am not following that nature. So in that case, it seems like I don't have to follow my nature. Maybe you mean something else by nature. I'm not clear.
So nature is what is your past, whatever we have done in the past life, we have got certain psychophysical body, and that is called nature. So now you have not subdued your nature. That's what I said. We have a nature to retaliate. But now because we are practicing Krishna consciousness, we get spiritual strength. Another, we understand the philosophy. And third, because of our spiritual practices, we move towards the upper nature, upper mode of goodness. We stay more in mode of goodness rather than in passion and ignorance. So it is very easy for a devotee to control the retaliation, to tolerate.
Yeah, and therefore he's not following his karmic nature.
This nature got purified because of bhakti. That's what I said. Bhakti only has the power to do that. It is the power of bhakti. It is not our own power. Jiva cannot do anything. It is bhakti means Krishna is entering in our life and he is helping us.
So therefore,
still you will see you cannot change 100% even after becoming Krishna conscious. Like Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, both spiritual personalities coming from spiritual world, but both have different style of functioning. That's the nature. Even people in spiritual, even devotees in spiritual world, who are Nitya Siddhas, who are eternally liberated, they have their nature. But that is spiritual nature. Krishna has his own nature. Srimati Radharani has his own nature. You know, all the gopis, gopas, they have their own nature. So similarly, nature is a part and parcel of consciousness. But our nature is now materially contaminated. And when we practice bhakti, we clear off that material contamination. So you will still see in your personality also, you cannot 100% change. Some habits, they come along. Even if you become a devotee, some habits come along. Maybe not the gross, but the subtle one, they're just part of our life. It's not easy. Like anger, it's not easy to give up anger.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to control anger even after becoming a devotee. Even after chanting for 20 years, 30 years, that anger comes. Because it's the nature. That's why we say, even in ISKCON, we say some devotees chanting even from 40 years, they're strong-natured devotees. Even though they are sannyasi, but they're strong nature. And some are soft nature. So that is coming from where? That has nothing to do with bhakti. But we have seen devotees, very senior devotees, but they have a nature, strong nature. Why we call Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur a lion guru? Strong nature, but he was soft. Vaishnava is soft also. But the nature, and some devotees, they are chanting from 50 years or for 5 years, they are extremely soft. They are always soft. They hardly become, I know one devotee, from 20 years in 23 years in Krishna consciousness, in 23 years he has never become angry, never. So this is the nature he has, which is coming from previous life. So it has influence. We are not free from karma. Until unless we cross the stage of Bhava Bhakti, all these things influence us. Only at Prema Bhakti will be out of all this.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Krishna said.
Okay, thank you, Prabhu. Also, when you were giving that story about, it was an analogy between, you know, this girl, let's say one girl married and all she had was her husband, and the other girl, maybe she had, you know, 20 relatives to deal with. And so, and he was saying that, you know, when the girl with just the husband alone, you know, she would remember all the bitter things, you know, so therefore, because it was only, the remembrances were only, you know, directed toward the husband, then of course they ended up in divorce. But with the other girl, because, you know, it was more spread out, you know, among the different relatives, so therefore, in that case, what I really kind of missed your point by saying what was
so
the
what
difference
I'm saying,
as a result.
So what I said, the girl who's staying alone with husband, after 1 year or 2 years or 3 years, they both, husband and wife, they remember more of the bitter nature and they become frustrated and angry and may lead to divorce. With not necessarily 100% people will get into divorce, but may lead. That's what happening in the Kali Yuga in modern age we are seeing. But a girl who's married to a husband who stays with like 20 members or 10 members, so the bitterness is coming from different people. So it is like spread evenly. So then there are less chances for this girl to take divorce or the husband to take divorce, give divorce to each other, because there are other family members and they kind of, you know, share those bitterness. It's like your karma is coming from 10 people who you cannot actually blame one person. So then you kind of digest it. But if one person is, it is like, you know, someone hitting on the body part. Suppose someone is hitting on the arm, again and again hitting at the same place, it pains more. And if you or someone is getting beaten up at different places in body, then this pain is spread out. It is evenly spread out. It is not only at one part of the body.
Mm-hmm. And so the I guess the point you were trying to make,
we tend to remember negative. I'm trying to say in both the cases, the husband and wife are getting the result of their own karma. Whether it is coming only from one person or it is coming from 20 persons or it is coming from like entire country or entire world, but this is the part of our own karma. This is the result of our own karma. So we should not get affected. We should be intelligent enough to judge that.
Okay. And you said that, you know, like if our karma is that we should get insulted because we have given insult in the past, it's our mind that gave the insult, and it's the mind of the other person who gave us back the insult, you know? And so we should think that it is not the soul who is giving the insult, it is the mind, it's the soul when he identifies with the mind.
Soul has nothing to do with anything, whether positive or negative material world. Soul is complete.
Oh, you broke up, I didn't hear. I don't know if you're still there because I'm hearing silence only now.
Yes, Prabhuji is, I think, internet is slow or something, but they can wait. Hare Krishna, Madhuji, somebody can connect with Prabhuji? In the WhatsApp message? Isuri Madhuji, do you have Prabhuji's number in WhatsApp?
Hare Krishna.
Hi Krishna Prabhu. Yeah,
I got another call. My temple president gave me a call, so I have to accept something urgent. So I was just explaining that soul has nothing to do with this material thing. It is only spiritual, is completely spiritual, Sachid Anand. Being part and parcel of Krishna, we have nothing to give and take with this material thing. And body. Mm-hmm. And if someone insults me, he has not harmed my body and he has not used his body. So it is not with the body also, it is not with the soul. No, it is with the subtle body. And subtle body means false ego, mind and intelligence. So intelligence is dull, false ego protected by mind. So ultimately it is mind and false ego. That's how we do the analysis.
So you said that the soul has nothing to do with any of this stuff. But it is just mind, one mind affecting another mind.
Yeah, it is mind and false ego basically. It's all false ego and mind. What is insult? Insult is something spoken to you which you do not like. Or you do not like. Whether you like or you are not like, it is not important. Your false ego will not like that. That is called insult. Mm-hmm. Insult has nothing to do with soul. The false ego does not accept, and the false ego will tell the mind, go and retaliate, and then we retaliate. So it's all false ego and mind. Nothing to do with soul.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is 6:15 and we should stop.
Thank you so much for your answers, Prabhu. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. They're very nice.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Anybody have any question or comment for Prabhuji?
One last question.
Okay, last question.
Yes, Prabhuji, last question. Overcoming anger is a sign that we are progressing in our Krishna consciousness. So if we still keep becoming angry, that means we're not...
Nandani, can you speak a little louder? I'm not able to hear you.
Okay, Prabhuji. So overcoming anger is a sign that we are advancing in Krishna consciousness, right? That's what you said, right? So if we still keep getting angry, then we are not there yet. We have a lot of work to do, right, Prabhu?
Yes. See, it is not only about anger. The moment you completely stop identifying with anything material, that time you are a devotee. So till that time we should work. And we should not be afraid of work. We should not be, I have to work so much. We should work. The moment you identify with your body, with your family, with your husband, with your, wife, and then children, and then society, and then this and that and this, it's all material. Because these are bodily relationships. The moment you will completely identify yourself as Krishna Das or Krishna Dasi, eternal servant of Krishna, and you're not affected with anything else, you're ready to go back to Godhead. Till that time, we should work. We never know. We may complete 70% of the work, and maybe Krishna at the time of death will give us 30% grace. Who knows? We should always be hopeful.
Krishna may give us grace marks and take us back. Even if Krishna doesn't take us back, he'll send to another universe to continue devotional service. Maybe you will continue this life and some 60-70%, and Krishna will send you to next universe and make you a sannyasi in ISKCON in that universe. And you may be directly associating with Prabhupada or some other acharya who may be preaching there. Or Krishna may send you to some universe where he is having leela on the Bhauma Vrindavan. And that is how you get 100% purified, and then you go to Bhauma Vrindavan, and Krishna engages you in service in Bhauma Vrindavan. You get trained, it's like a rehearsal ground, and then you actually go back to Goloka. It's not immediately you leave and go back to Vaikuntha. So we will be trained, we are continuing our journey. If you complete 50%, no problem. Maybe next life you will become associate, close associate of one of the acharyas, because you have done 70-80%, or you have done 90%. You will become close associate of some acharyas and continue bhakti. Thank you, everyone. Please bless me. Whatever I have spoken, at least 1% I can apply in my life. And we'll stop, it's getting late. So, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Granthraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki
Jai.
Jai.
Jai.